Welcome to the ministry of First Reformed Church of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Our worship services are at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Now we join Pastor Hank Bone as he brings us God's Word.
We turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 6. We have a short passage to read. We'll be likewise looking at the end of Acts, chapter 2, at some point. But for our reading and our text this morning, we'll be looking at the first seven verses here of Acts chapter 6. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, tomorrow we gather here again at 7 o'clock for our annual congregational meeting. And this is an important gathering of the congregation each year, where the membership is given the opportunity of hearing of the progress and the activities and the vision that the leadership has for First Reformed Church. At this meeting, we will elect duly nominated officers. But there is much more that goes on that is important for all to be present in the discussion of the needs of the ministry of Christ in our midst. All of this is in the Constitution of the Church that sets forth the duties and the responsibilities of the leadership, of the membership of the Church. But the congregational meeting is not a worship service. It is a meeting regarding the business of the Church, and what happens there involves everyone who is a part of the body of this Church. But where does the idea of the congregational meeting come from? There are a couple of passages in the book of Acts that form our principles upon which the local church organizes and functions with regards to matters in the carrying out of the ministry of the church. The first recorded congregational meeting in the New Testament is found at the end of Acts 1, where Peter calls upon the brothers to appoint someone to fill the vacancy in the office of apostle left vacant by Judas. In that meeting, the qualifications were set forth. The names of the two men were proposed or nominated. They prayed for God to reveal who he had chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship. And they cast their lots, or literally they voted by a ballot to determine who would serve. But the second recorded congregational meeting was called because the needs of the church were changing. In Acts chapter 6, in the seven verses that we read, we have an account of pressure that had arisen within the church because the numbers were multiplying. You know, that was God's intention for the church. That is God's intention for you in your life, in terms of the fruit of your life, both fruit in terms of internally in your growth, but also fruit in terms of your witness in the world. He doesn't call us to simply add a person here and add a person there, but he calls upon us to multiply. Two produces two, that produces four, that produces eight, that produces 16. It multiplies. And that's what was going on in this church. They were multiplying. On the day of Pentecost, remember, following Peter's sermon, over 3,000 were added to the church that day. And then he went on. And more were added. There were more demands with regards to how to carry out the ministry of the church than the current slate of officers at that time, which were the 12 disciples, could manage. There was progress in the church, and there was a need to figure out a better way to do things moving forward given the growth of the church. In Acts 6, we have set before us the pattern of the congregational meeting being established to deal with how the church progresses in its development. And the first point we note is the concern, which was the occasion for calling this meeting. A complaint was filed with the spiritual council. Now keep in mind, the spiritual council in this first of the early churches was the 12 disciples. At the end of Acts 2, following the great Pentecost event that empowered and gave birth to the New Testament church, we read that several thousand people were added to the church and that it kept growing daily. And that's this church. In Acts 2:42, we read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." A great problem to have, isn't it? Right? But why we say it's a great problem to have, it's because with that comes problems. How do we handle all of this? All of this abundance from God. It brings challenges and even brings conflicts. The primary mission of the church was to preach the gospel, to carry out the great commission that had not that long ago been given by the Lord to these 12 disciples. And their ministry was growing exponentially. If ever there were candidates for pastoral burnout, these 12 men would qualify. But what a great and exciting challenge to figure out how to tackle. Truly, the fields were white to harvest, and these men were seeing their wagons full every day. But with growth comes organizational challenges. Moses faced it in the wilderness. We've looked at that over the last few years, seeing Moses' challenges bringing the people out of Egypt. He was trying to handle all of the challenges and the complaints all by himself. He was the judge. He was burning himself out. His family was suffering. And you may remember that finally his father-in-law comes to him and says to him, "This is too much. You're insane to try to handle all this on your own." And so he proposed to him to have men appointed in layers till you had one man representing groups. And he said, "Moses, you only handle the hardest cases. Let all the other stuff be handled by the guys underneath you." Well, that was an organizational necessity given the difficulty of the sheer numbers that Moses had to deal with. Remember, there was over 1 million people that came out of Egypt and were in the wilderness. If you can imagine trying to be the judge for the entire city of Sacramento. Wouldn't work. Too much. And so men were appointed in layers to efficiently deal with the day-to-day questions and resolve the problems between the people. And that was the case here in Jerusalem as well. You know, back in Acts chapter 2, we are told that the people brought their resources to the church and gave it to them so that they all shared all things in common. And that apparently included the people eating together in big groups, kind of like church fellowship meals, only daily. As is common, there were women, the original members who had taken on running the kitchen and doing the serving and making sure that everything was getting done. However, as the church grew and there were many new people added, this included many non-Jewish members. So what happened was that the Hellenists, now the Hellenists were non-Jewish or Greek members of the church, widows, these widows were either not being allowed to help in the kitchen work, not being allowed to serve and feel like they're part of the congregation, or they were being neglected or overlooked in the distribution, in that daily distribution. Now, that may have a couple of meanings, and we're going to talk about that for a moment. You see, we don't know exactly which it is, but we do know that the word distribution is associated with what we would call diaconal aid. It is the Greek word diakonia. Just make a mental note of that because it's going to come up in a little bit here. But in verse 2, the disciples said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." And the word there is diakonia, tables. Be engaged in that service. Now that may well be meet financial needs, but it might also mean the serving of meals. And so it is here that the idea arises that the pastor should not be overseeing the money, nor should he be in charge of the potlucks. So from this complaint, what arises is the need for the church to come up with an equitable and efficient way to carry out the business of the church. Now, some churches have fallen into patterns or what you might say groups that facilitate a kind of exclusionist, especially ladies' aid groups who take over the kitchen. And if you're not in the ladies' aid, you don't get to participate. Kind of the same thing. The only thing is, we might have had something a little different going on here. What we need to see, though, in terms of this first point, is that this was occasioned by the fact this was a growing church and the need to handle future growth had to be addressed. So the second point, then, that we want to note is the communion, the congregation, the fellowship. You know, we already noted that this is a major church growth. And within this growth, there is also great diversity. The makeup of the New Testament church required a radical adjustment in the thinking of, in particular, the Jewish Christians. While it is not explained in detail, it is apparent that there seemed to be some perceived racism here by the Jews toward the non-Jews. Or at least the Hellenists felt that they were not being treated the same as the Jews. And they came and they complained. It is also apparent that the Jewish Christians are in control of everything. Now, this is a common problem in churches. It may be racially motivated, which is wrong in every sense. Paul deals with this in Galatians chapter 3. We read in the verses 26 through 29 where he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And Paul's point here is that the racial, economic, and gender distinctions are broken down in terms of our standing in Christ. We all receive the grace of God equally and should view each other as equal parts of the body of Christ. We may have different functions within the body of Christ, but no one is inferior to another. So the disciples see that this is creating a big problem, and that there is a need to do something to resolve it that is beyond their ability in terms of time constraints. Their office is the office of the ministry of the word, and that is the engine that drives the church. The ministry of the word must not become hindered by secondary activities. So it says in verse 2 that the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples. And in verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude, the whole group. And it was a big group. And they're all called together. Let us sit down and let us address these issues. So this is the congregation gathered to resolve, what are we going to do? It wasn't a bad thing. This was an exciting, good thing. Look where we're at. How can we do things better? There was a situation. The 12 disciples, the spiritual council, called a congregational meeting and said, here is the situation. We need a better way to handle the diaconal aspects of the ministry of the church. And that is not something that should derail us from our primary calling, our primary ministry of preaching the gospel and of praying for you, praying for the church. Here are the qualifications. Verse 3. You choose out from among you. And in verse 5 it says, the saying pleased the whole multitude. So how was this challenge to the church resolved? Well, that brings us to our third point, the conclusion. Notice first that in verse 3, we have the spiritual council that proposed how to deal with the need by recommending 7 men to be appointed from among the disciples who met certain qualifications. They were to be men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Or, to put it this way, choose out 7 men that you know and respect as spiritual leaders in your midst, that you trust to oversee this part of the ministry that will involve the diaconia, the financial and physical needs of the congregation. So there were 7 men chosen and appointed over the business of the diaconal ministry. And later their office became known as the office of the deacon. Stephen being the first deacon, often is his history, his fame in the church. And these men had been selected by the congregation, verse 6. They were set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, the apostles laid hands on them. The point here is that while the congregation had made the selection, it was still up to the apostles, the spiritual council, to approve them by ordination and installation into their office. The congregation plays an important role in the direction of the church, working in conjunction with the officers who exercise the biblical authority to carry out the mission of the church. We should never lose sight of that. This is what is called a Presbyterian form of government. The officers have the responsibility for the direction of the church, but they do so in consideration of the thinking of the body of Christ. So we come to our congregational meeting tomorrow night, and a lot is going on right now here at First Reformed Church. We are growing to the point that we are pretty full at times. New ministry opportunities have started. more Bible studies, greater attendance at coffee chat, an active website and live stream ministry. Things we have done for years are becoming dated for 2022. It is important to consider the possible need to do things differently. And so the consistory needs your input. And we need to see that the things we are doing please the whole multitude. So in conclusion, notice the result of the matter in the Jerusalem church. They took an aggressive approach in resolving the matter by creating a new office, the office of deacon. They avoided a possible church split. Really? It might have been, right? Those people aren't treating us right. Guess what happens? It exit. But the apostles come and say, no, no, we're the body of Christ. We're to be unified. We're to have love for one another and care for each other. We don't have divisions. Divisions are of the world. Strife is of the world. We have to put that off. So let us come up with a new resolution that will bring us all back together. And so we see the result in verse 7. They appoint the seven men. They're now over the diaconal ministry, all the activities that go on. It says in verse 7, then the word of God spread. The church's priority. The apostles were freed up. The elders were freed up to go do what they were supposed to do. Preach and pray and teach from home to home. And the number of disciples, it says what? Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. They just kept multiplying. They kept spreading. Kind of like that foamy stuff that comes in a can you use to seal your windows. Little tiny crack, you put a little thing in there, it goes, right? That's what the church did. But we're at a point in time in the history of the world where we need the preaching of the gospel more than ever. We need to see the church grow and expand through a vibrant ministry that doesn't work by separating people, but by bringing people together. And by ultimately uniting people together with Christ and with God through Christ, His Son. That is the hope of the world. Apart from Christ comes malice and bitterness and wrath and division and wars and clamor. But through the love of God comes unity and peace. And so we love one another, and it unites us. It should be the thing we look to the most, to come together on Sunday and see each other. And it shouldn't just be here for an hour on Sunday morning. Our lives should be intertwined throughout the week because we're a family. God brings us together, even as that church in Jerusalem was brought together. So God, by His grace, brings us together. And so it's our church. It's actually the Lord's church, right? But we're part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body, we all have interests in every aspect. So we strive to do that which Christ calls us to. And to live in such a way that we sense that power of God working in our midst. As they saw it then, we pray that we may see it again, that we may see it in our lives. And so we end with these words, may God grant to us wisdom as we proceed in this next year, that in everything that we do, we would be biblical and that we would be focused on spreading the word of God. Amen. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, I think we often read through the book of Acts like we read through most of the Bible quickly and we don't stop and we don't put it into a kind of personal reference. We don't put ourselves into the situation. But Father, what an amazing thing to be in the midst of that church, to hear Peter stand up and to see the work of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in all these different languages, and thousands of people were converted and added to the church, and it continued on day after day, and the church kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. So that not only did we see Jewish Christians in the church, but we began to see non-Jewish Christians in the church. Even to the point that there became a division, which was an opportunity to learn that in the church there are no divisions. So that when seven men were selected, not only were many of them Jewish Christians, but some were non-Jewish, one being from Antioch. So that divisions upon national lines went away. And the church becomes united and becomes the one place in the world where the divisions that took place at the Tower of Babel are wiped away, and we are all restored one to another. What an amazing thing. Father, we would pray for such to be the case again today, to see the Word of God so work in the transformation of people's lives. So, Father, we pray that even in our own congregation, as we work within our own community, may we see the spread of the Word of God. Father, hear us now as we praise you've taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.